How are we, everyone? Good? Awesome. Awesome to be here tonight. Really looking forward to it. I have been very nervous this afternoon, but thank you all for coming. So tonight I'm going to be sharing my testimony, and you do notice I am off-center, right? And there is a reason for it, so it'll all be revealed in a minute. But if you're here tonight, I just want to say that if you're not Christian and you are here tonight, I thank you so much for coming anyway. Thanks in advance for listening to me and how Jesus has changed my life. And I don't want you to feel pressured that you have to act in any certain way. But I do want you to know that what has happened to me is available to you as well. Regardless of what you have or haven't done, and regardless of your family upbringing, you're invited into something amazing, guys. Awesome. All right, so tonight, titled it Embrace the Journey. It's basically my life story. So over here, this is the start of my life. And then if we move over here, so you barely get it now. Over here, this is this moment tonight. This is the framework for tonight. So I start over here at the start of my life, obviously. Awesome. So I was born on the 1st of October 1998, the day after the Crows won their second grand final. Unfortunately, something that I couldn't celebrate on my 19th birthday, but let's just ignore that. So I was born at Flinders Medical Centre, and we were living at Aberfoyle at the time, and I've been brought up here, which has been awesome. In a Christian household, thanks to Dad. I just want to acknowledge him tonight. Thanks heaps for bringing me up so that I can be here. Let's give him a clap. Awesome. So, if I move along a little bit, my mum and dad did split up when I was one, and that was the best for both of us. Mum thought it would be, you know, best that dad would bring me up, and that's a decision that I've lived with, and it's been awesome. Thanks heaps, Dad, again. So school life, right? Now we move along a little bit further. Start of school, about five-ish. We applied to go, Dad wanted me to go to the Hub at the start, and also applied for me to go to Woolcroft College. And it turned out a little bit afterwards that we got an interview to go to Woolcroft. And we're like, yeah, cool, that sounds like a great idea. And so we went in there, had an interview, and turns out that was the place that I was meant to go. And I ended up going to Woolcroft the next term. They said, can Josh come in? I was like, yeah, cool, this is great. Private school, I'm going to be educated. All right, sounds good. And I made friends in my reception class that I still have today, which is absolutely amazing that I'll be able to grow up and see them grow as well. And I went to church here for all my life and Sunday school here, but my faith really wasn't all that high on my agenda, you know, being, you know, 5 and 6 and moving up to 10 years old, you know how it is. Awesome. All right, middle school. In the middle, hopefully. The meat of it, meat of my life. So at this point, I did have faith of, you know, Dad brought me up in a Christian household and encouraged me to pray about stuff and in that respect. And I did follow it because I thought, yeah, I get a free pass for doing stuff wrong. All right. But no, that's something that I've looked back on. But I was following my dad's faith at that point. Year 7. So 7 was an interesting year. I think, I don't remember what happened. I have no idea why. But one day I went up to Dad and say, hey, Dad, can I get baptized? He was like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm almost 100% sure, and I had no idea what that meant. And I thought, hey, that's a warm pool. I want to go in that. That sounds like a great idea. And I'm sure God was working me at that point, but I just really didn't know what that meant. I just kind of followed on with what Dad taught me. I wasn't really ready to challenge or act in my faith at that point, being so young. All right, and then we move along just 1 year at school. Year 8. Year 8 was an interesting year. I must say that I wasn't expecting it so young, and at my school, Woolcroft College, very much faith-driven school as publicised. But I had my Year 8 teacher throw a whole spanner in the works for me. She said we were having a debate about something. She liked to debate. It's, you know, something that I haven't got into. She said, the Bible is a lie. And I was like, what? Are you for real? The lie? How could Dad bring me up on a lie? This can't be right, surely. I wasn't ready to stand up for my faith at that point. And, you know, I just said, Dad, can you deal with it for me? That'd be great. And, you know, at that point, my friends weren't Christians either. And that kind of hit me as well. And I just found it really hard at that point to just grow my faith, because just everything was kind of, felt like it was pushing up against me. But I still had it, you know. But now I look back, there wasn't a lack of faith that was holding me back. It was just how blind I was to who God actually is. And I did forget something, which is, you know, always good when you're nervous. But this envelope, this was very important for most of my life. I had it somewhere which is hidden away in my back pocket. And this envelope, I'm bringing it out now, I should have explained at the start, however. This envelope represents my faith. It's always been there. It's always been my side. I've always had faith of some sort, whether that be because of Dad or because of my own strength or because of God's strength, which I've learned that that's the way to go now. It's something that I only brought out after this. If I move over here, move to the start of this year, instead of having my faith in my back pocket, I took it out and I put it in my hand. I had this opportunity. I had during year 12 break, and I had the opportunity to reflect and go, you know, how's life? How's it all going? And that's in my way. Had the opportunity to go, you know, just relax and just realize what God's going to store for me. And I had time to just go, just relax. And then we go down to Goolwa for our holidays. It's a holiday home that we've had down there, and we go down there. It's really good. Thanks, Gramps, for having that place. And I stayed down there, and we went to Goolwa Uniting, go to Goolwa Uniting when we're down there. And I really started to connect with faith. I don't know how. I don't know what happened. Must have just been because I didn't have all these assignments to do, and I didn't have to see people every day. I was just left to my own devices. And you know how the statistic of people, you know, leaving faith is the highest when you just left school? But I was the complete flip side. I had the opportunity in that time to grow my faith like I've never seen anyone before. My faith was like a dimmer switch, right? It was turned down to the dimmest it could possibly be. But at the beginning of this year, that all changed. Every single week, I came to church and I enjoyed worship so, so much more. Now, I did lead at Kidventure. I loved playing with kids and all that, because I have a young, what's the word for it? Cousin, that's the one. Young cousin who I just love to play with, love to play hide and seek and be a child, because I know there's a child still in here somewhere. And so I thought, you know, let's do Kidventure. That sounds like a good idea. And so I did. I went and did that. And the reason for that was because of this, right? My faith was in my hand. I did that, and that was absolutely amazing. Thank you, Joe and Pete, for putting that on. That's a great, great program that you guys do. And then after that, Shane came up to me one day and said, hey, mate, what do you think about Young Adults Camp? And I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to go and spend like a weekend with people that I have no idea about and I haven't met before. Down over there, along this way, there is no chance in the world that I would want to do something like this. But look, it's in my hand. Faith is in my hand. It's not in my back pocket. And what can you do when something's in your hand? You can do something with it. And so this time I did something with it, and I was like, let's do it. Let's go to Young Adults Camp. And what can I say? Having my faith in my hand, it changed my life, right? First camp that I've been on, I went to KCO, but I didn't go to Easter camp or anything like that. So Young Adults Camp, my first experience of having the love of Jesus around me, with all these people that I would meet. And so I just let God do the work. I was like, let's do it. At this camp, I don't know what else I can say, but I grew absolutely hugely in faith. I met all these people who are now my lifelong friends. And it's unexplainable how amazing they are and how they've changed my life as well. This is really the first time I felt what being loved by Jesus was like. And since then, I've taken every single opportunity that has come my way because of this. Now, after Young Adults Camp, I had Lockie Helia, the legend himself down here, shredding it on the guitar as he always does, invited me to lead at Easter Camp in Excess. I don't know if you remember that, but you did. And I thought about it and I was like, do I really want to do that? That seems like, you know, I'm busy playing games on a Friday night. I don't want to do that. But my faith was in my hand. It wasn't in my back pocket. And so I was like, all right, let's do it. Went to Excess and met the leaders there and met this one bloke who hadn't seen before and went and, you know, chatted with him. And then the next week at uni, I think it was, I was like, hey, I know you from somewhere. Where'd you go to my youth group? And that man right there is Ethan Wildman. Let's give him a round of applause. Now we are, I could say, best mates. You know, we spend plenty of time doing the stuff that we love together, all right? And I'm not going to ignore you at the mic back. You're still coming, all right? That was just awesome, having a best mate who is a Christian and had the same idea, you know, as me and just wanted to do the same stuff that I did. Tell you what, Easter camp. I ended up going, and what can I say, apart from it was another life-changing experience. It was a Saturday night, right? This night, it was the night before Jesus died, well represented that, and we got an ash cross poured on our forehead. And that night, something just happened. It was an absolute crazy phenomenon, right? And I have an eyewitness account here, and I want to read this to you tonight. So, as we sang the last song, what's it like to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit? I put an ash cross on my forehead and knelt in the presence of the Lord during the song, King of My Heart. Christy came up to me and wiped the cross off my forehead with a cloth and said, all of your sins are forgiven. All of your sins. I went back to my seat, constantly reminding myself of what Christy said. And then the verse came on, you are good, good. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't sing. Was playing. These two things resonated in my mind. I just kept replaying them over and over and over. At that point, I completely lost control of my body and knelt down, crying my heart out of how good God is. The song Spirit Move came on, and the verses, so like the rain, come and drench us in love. Let your glory rush in like a flood. Now, by the way, I'd been unconsciously singing this all weekend. I had no idea, but I was singing it to myself, and I wondered why. But I just couldn't stop. I just kept weeping. I was just like, how much love has God poured in me right now? I had mate Nick Bates, who's not, I don't think he's here tonight, but came up to me and prayed for me, and I just felt so loved. And continued to pray, but against laughing at the same time. Laughing tears, hey? How good is that? Awesome. Another great experience, because my faith wasn't in my back pocket. It was in my hand. And the dimmer switch of my faith was turned up to full. Cranked the keys of my car, which I haven't had for 45 minutes. It was like that. It was like that feeling. After this, it stayed with me. How can you forget something that's happened to you so physically that you've just felt? I couldn't ignore it. There's no way. There's no way you can ignore something that's happened to you physically. And so, moving along just a little bit more, we're getting to the end. Ryla. Ryla's a camp that I got invited to by Shane. I also got the chance to become an intern here, which is why I'm standing up here with you today. Woohoo! But from that, it's been an awesome experience. Thank you so much, Shane. And then from this internship, I got the chance to go to a camp called Ryle. This is a week-long camp up at Blackwood. That's the one. And the way I first saw it was spending a week with 50 people I've never met before in my life at some boring conference that I wouldn't get anything out of, listening to some inspirational speakers that would say, hey, your life's going to get great because you're going to be a leader. But oh, how I was so wrong. My open-hand faith got me this opportunity, and I've got to say, it was honestly the best week of my life so far. It wasn't a Christian camp by any means, but not only was I able to connect with every single person there in my own special way, I've made more lifelong friends, and then with my open-hand faith, also I've been able to share my faith with them. And even though I was the only Christian there, the love of Jesus throughout that camp was so there. Just amazing. And again, an experience that I can't really explain in words. Now, I just want to say that, you know, I did have my troubles down here and I still have them today, guys. Don't worry, I'm a person just like you. Life isn't all glitz and glamour, right? Not everything's smooth sailing. Life has its ups and downs. I still struggle with keeping my faith in my hands and not in my back pocket. But yeah, I had, just like the other day, I ignored an opportunity to go out and outreach. And that's just something that you should really, that I feel called to do. And I just let it go. I let fear control me. I left faith in my back pocket. But I want to tell you something tonight, guys, that in these times, the enemy tries to control us. He tries. But I have good news. God has overcome. John 16, 33. Chuck it up on the screen. Awesome. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen. Come on. All right. Gets up to like a week ago. I've run out of room. There's pot plants in the way. I'm sorry. So having to chat with Shane about how I'm going. Just, how you going, mate? Good. Yeah, I'm good. But something that's always been on my mind is how much I kind of struggle in social situations. Just like that. There you go. I still find it quite difficult to socialize and whatnot when I'm face-to-face. And there I was beating myself up about it. But, you know, Shane asked me an extremely important life-changing question for me. And this question was, what did your week look like a year ago? I thought about it. I was like, all right, my usual week looked like this. So I go to school, hang out with my one group of mates, recess and lunch. Get home, it's either homework or PlayStation. The weekends are not much different, just a lot more PlayStation. My social interaction at that point was 80, almost over that, consisted of voice chat with my mates. Something that, I wish I didn't have, but, you know, look at where it's got me now. Very little face-to-face. I never really went out, but then it hit me. What is my week like now? Now, it's changed. Monday night, small group. A social situation which I'm not afraid of whatsoever. Wednesday, the internship at church. Another social situation which I'm no longer afraid of. No fear. Excess. An extremely social situation. You know, down there, I would have been like freaking out. My brain's going everywhere. But socialized with the kids and the leaders. No problem, no fear. And I thought, wow, look at how far I've come. So tonight, I ask two things of you. The first thing is, if there's anything that you feel like you're struggling with, anything at all, any area of your life that you think you've fallen short of expectation, I ask, look back that way. It can be any time frame whatsoever, but realize how far you've come. Look how far God has already brought you. I know that as Joshua 1:9 explains. Be strong and courageous. to not be afraid, to not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He will not leave you, and everything works good for those who love him and for those who have been called according to his purpose. My last question for you is, where do you store your faith? Do you hold your faith in your back pocket like I did for all these years down over there? Or do you hold your faith in your hands, ready to give to others, ready to put it into practice? Are you letting fear hold you back? I want to remind you of 1 John 4, verses 15 to 18. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have a confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We don't have to fear. Fear does not control us, guys. And we can be confident that God, who loves us so perfectly, drives out all fear. Know that God is with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with every single person here. His Holy Spirit is here right now. Right now. And know that. And although handing over the reins is hard, handing it over to God is really hard. Trust me, I know I've experienced it. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your whole entire life. I'll finish with this, a quote from Albert Einstein, mathematician. A boat in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Be a moving ship, allowing God to be a captain. Let's close in prayer. Look, thank you so much, Lord, for tonight. Thank you that I can come here and share my testimony here. And Lord, I pray that you allow us not to have faith in our back pockets, but to have it in our forefront, ready to give to others. And Lord, I pray that we'll be able to make that decision tonight, that fear does not control us. And I pray that that'll be real in every single person's heart tonight, Lord. We thank you and praise for all the people who have come and for Michael, who I didn't get to talk about. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.